I'd like to continue in our study of the Book of Revelation, chapter 4. And in particular, I'd like to continue where we left off last week. The church in heaven is what I mentioned last week as a topic. And I'd like to continue that theme this morning. The church in heaven. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold upon their heads. Father, we pray this morning that you would open up our understanding concerning what you'd have for us today. Lord, our thoughts and our minds in spirit follow John into the heavenlies, there to be gathered round your throne in the presence of these strange creatures, around a living throne. And Lord, where you are reigning unhindered by whatever man may do. So, Father, we pray this morning you would give us understanding that we might learn some things of you, of your love and your grace toward us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Might be reminded, one of the first things that the writer John tells us about the book of Revelation, which many think, and it is, there's many difficult things to understand. But one of the keys, of course, is the fact that he made his revelation known by the means of signs, Simeon. There's much in here that is symbolic. We find, as we entered our reading this morning, as we conducted our reading this morning, that there were 24 thrones around the throne of God in the heavenlies. 24, they're called elders. Last week we looked at that closely, a little more closely. We found that the number, or the word elder there, has to do with maturity. The word throughout Scripture just simply means an older person, one with experience, mature. That certainly answers to the church as being mature. When the church has been removed to heaven at the rapture, when Christ comes for his own, we're all going to be changed, it says. We're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he's given to us in vision in the book of Daniel as the Ancient of Days. So the church, once is in heaven, reaches full maturity. Doesn't mean to say that God has nothing else to teach man, because in the ages to come, it says that he's going to show his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, cycles of revelation revealing himself as the Eternal One, he can never be fully known at any one moment. There'll be a continual, eternal unfolding of his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. There'll be a new song in eternity It won't be the same song. It'll be ever new. It's not a repetition. It is an augmentation, building upon and building upon and building upon. And so, elders, first of all, maturity. Secondly, we find that they were 24 elders, a symbolic number, certainly, symbolizing, of course, what David, when he set up the ministry of the Levites, the priests, he divided them into 24 divisions or courses. And we find there that Zechariah, the father of the priestly father of John the Baptist, was of the eighth course or division of the priest, and they served for 2 weeks at a time, round the year. They each served in course. And when the 24 heads of the courses, the priestly courses, met in Jerusalem, they represented the entire number. And then we looked at last week that the Christian, we have been made a kingdom of priests. It's mentioned there that we are priests. And we'll see this a little bit later on concerning the elders and their priestly ministry in heaven. So we are kings and priests. So the 24 would represent the entire church. Now that means that as some teach an error of doctrine, which is that a partial rapture, only those that are ready to be raptured will go to heaven. If you're not watching, you'll have to go through the tribulation, a partial rapture. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint them, but the entire 24 are represented there in heaven, which represents the entire church. Paul writes, he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At the same time, we're all going to be changed. And when John gets to heaven, he sees the church represented in its entirety by those 24 symbolic number of the elders. And we see also that the overcomers that were promised in chapters 2 and 3, those that overcome would be dressed in white, and we find they're dressed in white. We also find overcomers are promised crowns, victor's crowns, not royal reigning crowns, but those that are given to those who overcome. And you can make a study in the New Testament about the crowns that are offered. Or one of the crowns is those that love his appearing, they'll have a crown, the elder's crown. And there's other crowns, there's 5, I believe, in all. And these elders, when they worship, they cast their crowns down before the Lamb because of his, or before God, because only he is worthy. All glory that is given is all derived from God. And they recognize that by casting their glory before him who is the ultimate worthy one. So then, also, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, we saw that the elders, or the church rather, has been promised to be seated. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, in heavenly places, seated with him. And to the church of Laodicea was promised there, the overcomer, to sit down with him in his throne. So there we see the thrones, the elders enthroned, typifying the church that is in heaven. Now, a little bit further about the worship, the recognition of the church or the elders. The angels and the living creatures they celebrate the declarations that are made. Holy, holy, holy. They declare God's character. But it's the elders that actually worship with intelligent understanding of the whole thing that's going on. Born of experience, the church has been redeemed. These other created beings, as high as they may be, and as much as they represent the very person of God in all his attributes, they don't have the experience of being lost, desperate sinners, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The church is given that very highest occupation of worship in the heavenly places, in intelligent worship. Let's notice some. First of all, chapter 4, verse 11, the chapter that we are looking at. Chapter 4 and verse 11. In response to the four living creatures who untiringly, day and night, it says, they represent the absolute separateness of God, and they cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, holy and separate. Now, in chapter 4, just to back up a little bit, chapter 4, we see the one up upon the throne. We don't see the Lord Jesus or the Father designated there. This is God, the triune God, the creator of all things. And that's what the church recognizes. Notice what their response is to the declaration of the living creatures. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And they recognize this. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So they worship him in acknowledgement of his originating all things, creating all things. They worship him as the creator. It's intelligent worship, and it's in response to the declaration of the living creatures. The living creatures also worship, but they don't have the same kind of understanding that is expressed by the elders. Now also go back to chapter 1. If we are right in identifying the church as the elders, then in verses 5b, halfway through verse 5 and verse 6, what we do is, after the greetings in verse 4, "John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth." So there's a greeting from him, from the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who is and was and is to come. Now, in response to that greeting, we find this. unto him. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice how it's an intelligent response to his greeting. They give thanks. They glorify him because of them, of the Lord Jesus, bringing them into this exalted position as being kings and priests, redeemed by the blood. Now, the reason I point that out is it is a connection, again, that solidifies, I believe, the identification of the elders as the church. Now, going on into the book of Revelation, that isn't the end of the elders. It's been many times mentioned, the church is not found on the earth during the tribulation period after chapter 6. As a matter of fact, they're in heaven. The church is all gathered there in heaven, represented by the elders. Notice now, if you will, chapter 5. Chapter 4 is God revealed as the creator. Chapter 5 is when the Lamb is revealed. And as the Lamb, he gets his inheritance that's been promised to him. And he's the only one that's found worthy to obtain that inheritance. And so we find there in chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Verse 8 gives us the preparation. When he had taken that scroll, that were the title deeds to all the inheritance that he had been promised by his Father. Notice this, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, this is referring not to the living creatures having harps and bowls. And then they sang a new song, referring to the church, the 24 elders, rather. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Notice now they're from worshiping him as the creator, they go on now to worship him and express it as the redeemer. They worship as the one who purchased the church with his own blood. So worship to the Lamb as the redeemer. Real spiritual intelligence is displayed here. Because all through the book of Revelation, as we find it, there's one more we'll turn to, the elders demonstrate not only their spiritual intelligence, but also doing so, giving reason for their worship, expressing it. Chapter 11 now. Chapter 11. And we've come now to near the end, the seventh trumpet, the end of the book of Revelation, the end of the tribulation period, the great tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, when the wrath of the Lamb has been poured out upon the earth. And the Lamb, in his judgments, is preparing the world for his kingdom to be set up on earth. It says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, notice now again their intelligent response to the information that they received. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And so we see there, in their worship, they are using scriptural language to do so. Very intelligent, their worship. Notice that in that verse 18, that it says, you will reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. That's referring, of course, to the Old Testament saints there that had suffered greatly, who had witnessed for the Lord, and they acknowledged that. It would only make sense if the church is to rule and reign with Christ. Would they not be, as part of the administration of the universe, be intelligent counselors surrounding the throne, reigning with him? Absolutely. The church, think of the high calling. It says in Corinthians that we're going to judge angels. That is, we're going to rule over angels. Right now, the world, the administration of the world's affairs, are administered through God's servants, the angels. But then, in the new world, in the millennium and in the greater world to come, we'll be ruling and reign with him in that eternal kingdom. We'd be part of the central administration of the universal rule with Christ, seated with him. Adam and Eve, they lost a lot when they sinned. They lost the dominion that was given to them as husband and wife, as the regents, king and queen created. They lost that. But what has been restored in Christ is something infinitely greater. That we are going to be reigning with our head in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see them, they're rejoicing to the fact that he's going to take his power and he's going to reign. Finally, after all this time of waiting, the Lord Jesus is going to take his rightful place, and we, the church, are going to be seated with him in that administration of a righteous kingdom. Think of the great honor that is ours. How ought we to live as a result of this great high calling that we have in Christ Jesus and our inheritance in him. Truly, it's a marvelous thing. It's not just that we're saved from sin. No, that's a very poor and lowly look. But that's where it begins. But it ends as the elders in their worship, you have taken your great power and have reigned. So may the Lord help us this morning. Just to continue, I won't get into the next item that I have on my study. But we're going to take a look maybe at next time at those strange creatures, those living creatures, and what they might represent for us, and their importance in a practical sense. Father, we want to thank you again for your grace. We pray, Lord, that we might live worthy of our calling. Help us, Lord, we're so weak and we are prone to sin. We dishonor you, Lord, many times, but we thank you for your grace and your promises that are in Christ Jesus, that you will never fail, that you will never leave us, that you're going to perfect us and in heaven. For by one sacrifice for sin forever, he has perfected those who are being sanctified. So, Father, we rest in this security that simply by faith coming to you, believing in the Lord Jesus, we're lifted up from the depths of sin to the heights of glory next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon us. Thank you for the refreshments that we'll enjoy downstairs and the fellowship that follows. We pray in Jesus' name.